You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa and Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London edition. Today in our studio, I have my friend, really wonderful friend. I see you, Martin Harris, maybe twice a year via Zoom or sometimes in a studio. We do not have a chance to really hang out or just have time together, but for sure, the 1 hour of interview and conversation before interviews and after interviews and being around film festivals made us sort of like really close friends. So, hi, Martin Harris. How are you?
Hello, Ilona. I'm good. How are you? We're two different continents now.
It's just crazy because what is the most wonderful to tell to everybody who listens to our interview and watches us on Instagram and Facebook, that Martin Harris is a movie star. He's an actor. He's American-Polish actor, a Polish-American actor. So obvious, my heart belongs to you in a way, because we both have Polish. We both lived most of our lives in Los Angeles, in America, and we both were creating our careers steady. But yours is growing like crazy. So first and foremost, 2022, what a year for you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes. So your job will be to tell us in details, the most like you can, a little bit or a lot about your beautiful, wonderful, very important roles in the movies. Because if people know you, maybe for like 4 years, I think my first interview with you was 2018. So anybody who wants to listen to our interview, earlier interview, please go to LA Talk Radio, Accent On, scroll down to archives and go down, look for Martin Harris interview from 2018. So people will listen and they will understand how your career is growing in Hollywood. And we are talking growing. So do you feel today that you are a successful actor?
To a point, definitely. I spoke with some of the great actors on some of the shows and films I did last year and this year. And I think that the best mindset to have is to not think about what you've done to this point, but what you think about the next job and what's ahead of you. So you don't get stuck in the past in that way and you just clean your head for the next role. So I try to think that way, that I'm a working actor who works and he continues to work, and always the next job is the most important one. It's fun to talk about some of those that we did, but always the next one is the most important.
Okay, I agree with you. But I also will say and put accent on that it's time in life that we need to sit for a few minutes and just look into our past and say, wow, I really did something special. And this year I worked so hard, but also shows. Because we know that a lot of actors, they can spend years waiting for their roles, years waiting and having auditions and be rejected. And probably the hardest for actors is to not give up. Mm-hmm. Because people somehow, they have no power, staying power. And this could be their problem. This could be just that life takes them in different direction and they cannot focus 100% on what is the goal in life. In some way, somehow you managed. How many years you are in Hollywood, in Los Angeles already?
I moved 2008. And it's interesting what you just said, because I want to actually elaborate on it a little bit. I think there's never too late, and every actor has to ask himself, am I ready to do it for a lifetime? Because it sometimes takes a lot of time, and there's only one way to not make it, there's only one way to not make it, it's by quitting. So until you know, like as long as you're in the game, it can happen anytime, and you just work on your craft and continue to add what you can do as an actor, you know, add your skill set. Maybe, you know, if it will not happen on screen, you'd be a great voiceover actor. You know, like I try to do everything. I do a lot of voiceover work. I try to do different accents, different languages. You know, it's just to add skill set. Every time, right, I speak 8 languages, I'm learning 9th one. So, you know, you just got to work on your craft constantly. And I think as long as you don't quit, you will get your opportunities. It doesn't mean you're going to be an A-list star, but it's not about that. Like once you really get into acting and what the acting is, I think the acting part of acting is the most important part. And you don't think about the other stuff necessarily. Let your reps think about that, but you think you focus on the work. And I'll tell you this. When I started in 2008, I went to Stella Adler Academy, and there were some extremely talented actors I was in the class with, extremely, extremely talented. And from the entire year that I was part of, there were like maybe 50 actors. I think it's only me and another guy that are still working in the business. Then I went to Beverly Hills Playhouse, also a very renowned school. Maybe 3 or 4 people are working in the business. So yeah, it's, you gotta be consistent.
Yes, that's, oh gosh. And not be depressed. And I know there were moments in your life, because sometimes we had long conversation. It was not easy. It was not easy because you really, you hope for something and it's not happening. You put energy, so much energy. You're a very serious man. You really are. You know, I know also a lot of actors. That could help the most, maybe. You're right. Did you have this twist on the serious stuff that sometimes you are laughing from things that are most, the most dramatic? So maybe being comedian and working with a comedy is also helpful, very much so. So yeah, you need to give young actors who maybe, or people or parents who are watching their children dreaming to become one and say, oh my gosh, my poor children, they will, you know, never make any money. They will lose 10, 15 years of their lives. I, as a parent, you need to help them financially. Oh, why? It's the worst business. Everybody says being an artist, musician is just love. Artists need to do it, but it's very hard to be successful first. Be on the top even for a second that you feel like you made it. Even for a second, it's very important. You know, I don't say how high is the mountain that we want to climb, but any mountain that we have, it's very important for artists to have it. I remember my first award as a singer. I remember first of everything, first time in a studio, first time song on the radio. There's stairs that I dreamt about when I was growing to be known singer in Poland or whatever I was doing in America, growing to. It's like, wow, could this happen? Could this be? First things focus. So one, what we know about you, look at your, everybody needs to go and watch us on Zoom because your face is so tense. You really have this unusual, you know, very strong, manly face that says, no, I'm not giving up. You know, I'm here to stay. And, you know, yeah, I really think you got this personality and you carry yourself very, very well. So let's maybe say 2022. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm going with my wonderful daughter, Natasha, soon to see Amsterdam movie. And you are in this movie. So tell us how this started. Who are you playing? Who is the director? How does this happen? And what you were doing in New York? Let's focus on Amsterdam.
Yeah, Amsterdam, it's great. You know, like one thing I want to add to what you just said, it's the great part of acting and doing those big projects that, you know, we dream about getting, and then you go there and do this project and you build this unbelievable relationships with other actors and people that you share the experience with. You know, like I would say from all those big jobs I did in the last 3-4 years, I'm friends with at least a couple of people from each project, because there is a history that we have together. It's a beautiful history. You know, like people I did Stranger Things with, or people I did Better Call Saul with. I'm friends with people I worked on Amsterdam. people I worked on Greyman, you know, that's how you build friendships, which now I understand. This is how you build friendships in this business, is through the experience that we are in this, because it is a high moment, you know, it is a high adrenaline, but also it's a happy moment when you work on something great and then you have that moment with that person or those people that you will have it forever, because it will always be there. And those are like very unique relationships. And I just realized that I had my best friends are the friends I did shows or movies with. Those are my best friends. Those are my best relationships. And talking about Amsterdam, same thing. You know, like one of my best friends is from Amsterdam. I met another great friend through Amsterdam, and we talk now all the time after the premiere, and he was also the premiere. It was an amazing experience, because my publicist called me on Friday if I'm ready to fly to New York on Sunday. First flight, I have to be on the plane. And I went to New York, and it was fashion week in New York, so all hotels were the prices to the roof. But I took a little hotel in Manhattan, and then I walked to Lincoln Plaza, where the premiere happened. And then he got me on the carpet, and I started giving interviews to media from all over the world, from France, from Canal Plus France, Japan, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, and it was a very limited number of people on the red carpet. Only the stars of the film. You know, I was one of the few which I would say, you know, supporting roles that there was a lot on the carpet, and the director and the producer and the executive producer Drake, who also was in charge of soundtrack, I think. So surreal experience, and that was a very gratifying one, because it's like I was thinking, should I go, should I not go, because I pretty much give up a potential job I had on Monday, Tuesday, not that important, but you know, but I decided, you know what, I'm gonna go, because this is something that I'll always remember. And to walk the carpet, you know, with some of my idols, Christian Bale, Robert De Niro, was a surreal experience, because Robert De Niro was inspiration for me when I started dreaming about being an actor. I was watching Goodfellas, and I'm like, I want to do it. And I was already in my early 30s before I even went to my first acting class. And Robert De Niro had a special, special place in my heart as this iconic actor that I always wanted to learn from, you know. And then, you know, 15 years later, less than 15 years later, I'm in a movie with Robert De Niro, which is, yeah.
Martin, this is dream come true. This is so beautiful what you are saying. And I really, really believe that when we have big dreams, that's our dreams, because dreams is something that nobody knows how big they are in our own heads. You know, sometimes we describe, but they are sometimes overwhelming. And many times things like that happen. That person who just helped you to dream, your hero, whoever is this, if you write book or something, eventually I'm meeting them for even moment. I cannot believe one day what I did to my daughter. That was the weirdest, saddest moment of my life as a mother, my failure. So my daughter is a singer, and she loved Imogen Heap. Very, very known English singer, and with a lot of hits all around the world. So my daughter, we went to Grammys, and Imogen Heap was there. So Natasha was there too. I was there too. So Natasha saw her. We had a chance to speak with her. And Imogen Heap gave her beautiful, beautiful few lines, amazing lines that Natasha will remember forever. And obvious, I was the one who was taping all of that, and I didn't push the button, the recording button on my phone. So all of that was supposed to be already pre-recorded even for her, I didn't do it. I was so sad, but obvious, still the memory of real memory of her meeting her hero as a singer, Natasha Singer, and young 14 years old girl then. You know, she really met her in Los Angeles, and now we are in London. Who knows what will happen one day? But, you know, this is so beautiful what you're saying. Sometimes this moment really takes you higher, very, very high. So did you have a chance to say hi to him in person?
I had a chance. I had a chance to talk to a few of those people. I had a chance to talk to Debbie Russell that got me that role iconic director, and you know, him saying after the screening, you know, thank you for being great in my film. That was unbelievable. You know, that was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Especially that I don't have a big role. I mean, I had a little two bits, one with De Niro and one with Margot Robbie and Chris Rock. But I'm in it. I'm credited with it.
Martin,
I'm gonna stay forever. So
in you mentioned like six the biggest names that ever. Oh gosh, they're paying. They're names that pay the bill.
I mean, it has like 20. It's only 50 credited actors in the film, and 20 of them are like superstars. You know, Robert De Niro, Zoe Saldana, Rami Malek, Taylor Swift, John David Washington, Margot Robbie, Anya Taylor-Joy. I mean, you can Mike Myers, with whom I also had a small conversation. Michael Shannon, with whom I also talked a little bit. You know, so no, it's an incredible cast. It's one of the greatest casts ever assembled recently. Yeah. Sure.
So that's amazing. So I would love to talk a little bit about your role or about the movie. You know, what you think is special about this movie, if you can tell us.
You know, David O. Russell, he's a very unique director because he does a lot of improv while filming. And a lot of stuff we were doing, we're trying a lot of different things. And he was always throwing in lines, throwing in setups, seeing where the story goes and then changing it, adjusting it. So that's a very unique filmmaking. Sometimes he was making all those, you know, iconic actors change their lines on the fly, like, no, instead of this, say this, and they had to do it. And he was doing that a lot. So that was a definitely unique experience. It was in the middle of pandemic. It was in February 2021 in downtown LA. That's where we filmed. It was fairly quick shoot for a big movie. I was on set for a week. And what else do I remember? I remember everybody was very excited about it. It was almost incredible because in the middle of pandemic, with all those safety rules and regulations, I was pretty much locked in one big room with some of the greatest actors in the world for a week. You know, it was insane. And looking at Christian Bale, who's one of the greatest actors in the world for sure, and how committed he is to the character that he doesn't even completely change the character during the day, or that even during meals he still talks with the same mannerism as his character, and that was pretty incredible too.
Wonderful. So we are talking today with actor Martin Harris, currently co-stars in writer-director David Russell's star-studded 1930s murder mystery, Amsterdam. Let's talk about another movie. You recently portrayed a Czech police officer in Netflix edgy international thriller, The Grey Man. Can you tell us a little bit about this role?
Yeah, that was last year. I actually met one of my best friends. She's a Polish actress, Michelle Twarowska. We both worked together on this film, and we became very good friends. She's a wonderful actress. She's, I would say, the hardest working Polish actress right now in Hollywood. Very successful, and we're very good friends. She actually helped me to. That's a funny story. When I flew to the premiere of Amsterdam, she was the one that helped me to pick the suit. Because I trust her opinion about, I'm not trusting my own opinion about the clothes, but I trusted hers, and she picked perfectly. I got a lot of positive reviews of my suit. So yeah, we're, you know, like I said, you build friendships when you do projects together, and yeah, we did the project together. And the highest budget in history of Netflix, you could feel it on set. A lot of stuff going on. They kept me on set for one more day to help with Czech language because I speak Czech with the stunt guys, because there was a lot of stunt work going on in this film. And then a few months later, and even early this year, I was called by the studio to do additional voiceover. So I ended up working on it quite a bit. First, you know, as an actor, as a police officer, then helping with Czech, and then doing 3 days of voiceover work on the film. So yeah, it's another blockbuster. I was happy to be in four blockbusters in the last 3 years, and it's another one.
Okay, Czech language. Don't go so fast through it. Okay, where did you learn speak Czech?
Well, I mean, I got the basics from living in Wrocław and growing up in Poland, and we had the old cable TV in the 80s where when you put your antenna to the south, you could catch Czech networks, and they had better cartoons than Polish TV at the time. They had Wieczorinka, which I was watching every day, and I loved it. And then Czech films were very popular in Poland in the late 80s. There was one about Arabella and Rumburak. Yep. So whenever I speak with my Czech colleagues, I always bring up Arabella and Rumburak, which were the iconic movie characters from Czech movies. And of course, it's such a similar language to Polish language that when I decided that I want to learn as many languages as possible to have that skill and to be kind of ahead of others for those roles, Czech was one of my first choices, and I did play Czech already 3 times. I played Czech on Days of Our Lives as a recurring role of a Czech police officer. I played Czech on The Gray Man. I did Czech voiceover for the second to last Spider-Man movie. And I think I did a bunch of other voiceover work as a Czech character as well. So yeah, it's one, not my main go-to role, type of roles. I would say German, because I grew up in Germany partially, and I speak with a German accent naturally more than a Polish accent for whatever reason. So I would say German roles are my number one go-to roles, then the Russian ones, and then I would say Czech, Serbian, Croatian, that kind of stuff.
I'm so proud of you. Oh my gosh. Again, we are watching and listening to interview with Martin Harris, and he is, in my opinion, movie star and grows so fast and so wonderfully. I cannot wait what life will bring for you. And we are keeping our fingers crossed with you. So next, you start opposite of Colin Firth in The Staircase. Mm-hmm. Very, very unusual movie. So could you tell us a little bit about this crime series and your role in it?
Yeah, that's another crazy story, because I was on my way to a birthday party that friends were throwing up for me last year in August, in the middle of August, when I got a phone call from my agent in Atlanta. Can I be on set? Can I do a COVID test today and be on set on Monday and work 2 days on The Staircase as a German reporter? And yeah, I mean, of course. And so I had to kind of cut the party short. Next day I flew into Atlanta. Then I did the COVID test, and I assume something must have happened last minute that they had to replace someone. And lucky for me, because, you know, working with Colin Firth, one of the greatest actors of all time, was an incredible experience working not only with him, but with Sophie Turner, the famous queen from Game of Thrones, with Patrick Schwarzenegger. That was his breakout role as, you know, son of Arnold. And he actually was the first one that came to me, and he would start asking me questions about, you know, am I from Germany? Am I German? And I started asking him in German, and he's like, oh, I don't speak any German.
Dad, you forgot to teach me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. That's funny. A great, great story. And that's
awesome. Another, I'll tell you another one. So on the first day, I'm sitting, it's four of us, me, Sophie Turner, Patrick Schwarzenegger, and Odessa Young, a wonderful, wonderful actress from Australia, that she played the daughter of Colin Firth's character. And she had a book, and she was reading a book in the breaks. And we're having this conversation, four of us, about it's good to bring a book on set, because that makes you focused, you know, like you're reading, so you build your focus, and then you go to your role, and it's easier. It's a good transition. So I was staying close to Georgia Tech University in Atlanta, and I went to their library, but unfortunately the library only had like 99% of the books they had were like technical stuff, because it's a technical college, so I couldn't find anything. And I finally found there was one book with work from Plato, okay, like ancient philosopher. So I picked that one. And I put it on my seat before we started shooting. And Michael Stuhlbarg, whom I admire, is one of my favorite actors in the world, whom I admire for a long time. He called me in from the end of the room, and he's like, oh, Plato, you're reading Plato. I did that as a play on Broadway a couple of years ago. And then we had a conversation for like an hour. You know, he was asking me a lot of questions about growing up in Europe, about Poland, and because he's a big fan of all Polish directors. So am I. You know, I'm a big fan of Kieślowski. I'm a big fan of Wajda and early Roman Polanski and some of those other guys, you know, Zanussi. I think Poland has a great tradition of making wonderful movies in the past. Absolutely. So we talked about that as well. And then Colin Firth comes to me because I didn't know that my British agent called him a day before that I'll be working on this TV show. And she represents his son. So I had a perfect start on set. You know, it was like a perfect atmosphere for me to start working because, you know, Colin Firth comes to me. We had a little conversation. I had a little conversation with Michael Stuhlbarg. Then I bonded with Sophie, Odessa, and Patrick. And before I even started working, I was already in a great, great mood. And the scene that came out, it came out great. So I think it's also important, you know, like what's your mindset on set, when you feel like welcome, when they show you not just respect, but they show you like you're one part of the team. And they had like this little bus that was driving us from one location to another location. And on that bus, we were also bonding. And one other actor, he has an acting school that was doing something in Warsaw. So we also talked about it. It was great. It was an overall fantastic experience.
Wonderful. Small, big world.
Yeah.
You're a part of it. And something tells me also that you're very likable. And that's...
I'm trying to be.
And yes, you know, so that helps. So... whoever gave you this personality, mama and daddy or whoever, you know, and you really are liked. So people treat you seriously and for whatever reason, whatever is above that leads you to this direction, that direction, just gives you the right moment in life. So you feel like in home. And that's so important. Like you said, to enter new place and so many people just take a moment to know you for whatever reason. That's very unusual that things like that happen. You cannot create atmosphere like that. Need to happen naturally and happen, you know, that you speak to these big actors for whatever reason it was. And they are interested in your past, in your language skills, in, you know, and you are coming in the last moment. You don't even know what's happened, why you are there on a 1 or 2 days notice. So you, like you said, probably somebody got sick or something and they need it and you replace them wonderfully. So...
yeah, the scene worked fantastic, and I mean, like, and you're around those people, and you know, those are like big time. Like Sophie Turner is a big time celebrity. She was actually with her boyfriend Joe Jonas at the time. He was there in Atlanta, and I think he has birthday exactly on the same day as I do, and it was right after my birthday. So that was another fun topic of conversation. I mean, she's such a lovely human being. I mean, I see why. You know, like this one thing I can tell about most of the successful actors I work with, they're just really wonderful human beings. And I think that is one of the reasons why they're successful. If not one of the main reasons why they're successful, because like
beautiful line that we need to spread, that kindness and being wonderfully in love what you are doing supposed to create this aura of greatness in people, and mostly they're really, like you say, successful people. They're humbled, they're wonderfully hardworking people, and we do not know too much about their private lives. They really are living their lives, the crazy people who are always on the front of the newspapers, you know, different type of actors or different type of artists that we like to follow, or reality stars that are a little different, but the real, real gorgeous actors that we love to grow up with, you know, and they have their own families, you know, just like you said, Georgiana's wife, I think they have now second child already, young girl. She's just amazing, but has career in the movies and is already mother of two, from what I understand.
So, and the queen from Game of Thrones, that was, you know, this is one of the roles that should be remembered forever.
Look at you.
At the show.
Very, very interesting. So, and now let's talk about next movie. So you were speaking Czech, you are speaking Russian in some movies. Now you are German bartender opposite Donny Dalton in the final season of Better Call Saul. So Can you tell us a little bit about this role?
Yeah, it's funny because they actually posted about it today. I posted the photo from what we did, the Better Call Saul account. That's such an iconic show. That was my, you know, it's funny because when I had my New Year's Eve event in 2020, and I was like projecting what I dream about, I wanted to be on Stranger Things and Better Call Saul, and both of those dreams happened. So those were like my two shows I wanted. I would kill to be on, you know, and it took me years of trying. The first time I auditioned for Breaking Bad was when I just started acting in 2012. I almost got a German role in Breaking Bad, which is this Better Call Saul is the prequel to Breaking Bad. Now they closed the whole story, so there's no more Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. They closed that chapter a month ago or something like that. And to be part of the last season of such an iconic show, I mean, with such a devoted fan base, incredible. And I was there to help bring the character of the biggest, the main villain on the show. He comes back to the show in the middle of this last season. He shows up at the bar in Germany, and he orders a drink from me, and we had a little back and forth. And then he approaches the widow of a former producer of drugs, and they do their own bit and they have their own thing because he's there for a reason, as he's competing with Gus, who is it's a very complicated thing because it's a prequel. It leads to it was like creating stories that happened before Breaking Bad. So anyone who is a big fan of Breaking Bad or even both shows knows exactly how the importance of that scene, but it's very difficult to describe in a few minutes why it was that important. But pretty much what I'm just going to say, I'm bringing back in that scene the character, the main villain of the prequel, which is the Better Call Saul, that has a competition with the biggest villain of Breaking Bad itself. So it's very connected. It's a nice bit. It's an iconic bit because I prepare martini for him. And that martini shot is in every teaser for the show.
That's wonderful. Okay, your dream came true again. So, Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
So you are one of actor David Harbour's fellow prisoners in a Soviet gulag
mm-hmm.
in the latest season of the acclaimed science fiction series Stranger Things. Now, Russian comes to the scene. So you speak Russian too, yes?
Yeah, I speak perfect Russian. I don't necessarily always look as Russian as some other Russian actors, but I do get some parts, some Russian roles here and there. I did Red Notice right before pandemic with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds, which was my second blockbuster after The Hunt. The Hunt was my first one, then Red Notice, then The Gray Man, and then Amsterdam. So, Stranger Things, I dreamed about it and finally I got it. It was 2 months of work, right after Amsterdam, right before Greyman. It was March and April 2021 in Atlanta. First 2 weeks of quarantine in a hotel and a huge fear to not test positive because then everything is out of the. So I was very, very careful. I was staying in a hotel room, just taking walks when there was no one around, and I wouldn't even get into elevator with anybody. I was that careful because I knew that this show is huge. It's iconic. It's one of the biggest shows of all time. It's the biggest show in the last few years. It has an incredible fan base. And also when it came out, finally, I would say people in Poland noticed that I'm doing something here, and there was a lot of publicity in Poland that happened. And that was also very nice. But yeah, from acting standpoint, working with David, working with Tom Vlaska, another Game of Thrones alumni, he was one of the stars of Game of Thrones as well. Worked with Pasha Lyshnikov, who is the number one Russian actor in Hollywood. Amazing, incredible actor right now. Every pretty much big Russian role goes to him in every big movie, every big TV show. He's like a generation older than me. So hopefully when I'm at his age, I'm going to be at his position.
And we are wishing you this so, so much. Martin, I am so proud of you, so proud of you. I know you, like I say, 4 or 5 years And I remember, I have memory of our conversations before show, after show, in time of the show. So sometimes you were saying, I cannot say, I cannot tell you, it's happening, it's coming. So I'm like, you know, last, I think interview we had in January or something this year. So I remember you telling us in time of our interview, you cannot speak about this or that, but soon is coming. So now we know what you're talking about. You're working really, really hard and smart. And now we are learning, you know, your last 2 years. And like you say, COVID time, which, oh, what a trauma for most of artists, you know, nobody was doing anything. In a way, I'm not saying lucky, but in a way you were lucky and discovered, and you have amazing memory. You did great job. And in the movies that you dreamt to be in. So, perfect. Now, if we can tell people a little bit who don't know really about your past. Mm-hmm. Now we know you speak a few languages. People know that you are coming originally from Wrocław, from Poland. But you started in 2008 in Hollywood, and you were practically dreaming about becoming an actor. You were studying to be an actor, but before all of this happened, and you were already in 30s, early 30s, you lived in Poland and you lived in Germany. Yes. So in Poland, what you were doing in Poland as a young gentleman?
You know, it's funny because when I think about it right now, I feel like it makes perfect sense why my life went the way it went. Because when I was 14, 15, I had this dream of being a rock singer, and I was a go-getter always, you know. So I decided to create a band, and we played some music. We were just not ready for it. We were too young, and it never kind of happened. And we dismantled the band, and then at the age of 17, I don't know what to do with my life. I felt like music is everything for me, and I started writing about music for the biggest Polish rock and roll magazine. I was, you know, helping out, doing some reporting on the side for local radio stations in Wrocław, going to concerts, interviewing like Polish rock stars, just being around this kid that was trying to be friends with every rock star who's coming to town. And they, for some of them, you know, like I built some friendships that way. But when I turned like 18, 19, and I felt like I'm, you know, it's time to have a job in life. I thought that because sports was always something that I also liked, it's going to be easier for me to support myself as a sports writer versus being a music writer, especially rock writer, because I wasn't willing to write about pop music. At the time, I was very hardcore heavy metal rock guy, and it was just that's it. And there was no middle ground. So so I decided to write about sports, and somehow within a year I had a big career in it, you know, like it was a very fast advancing through all the ranks. And I started writing for major publications, and I went to America for the first time as a 19-year-old to cover NBA basketball. I became expert in NBA basketball in Poland, and then soccer. And age 25, I'm have, you know, my own show on TV in Poland. I was broadcasting, I was writing for Polish Playboy, I was writing for BBC as a correspondent, I was writing for magazines in Japan, South Africa, Germany, everywhere. And great, you know, got, you know, bought my first apartment, second apartment, I was living a good life. But then around when I was 28, I changed companies. I went from biggest Polish sports newspaper to the Polish public publishing company called Agora. They created a new project, and they gave me a very good contract on it. It was like a new newspaper. And I think that it premiered in October 2005 or 6, and they closed it after 2 months, and they paid me 6 months in advance. And that was the first time since I was 18 where, because, you know, as a sports reporter, I was traveling. I was constantly on, you know, on my, you know, with my bags, flying to United States, flying all over Europe, flying to Asia, Africa. I was constantly doing working nonstop, crazy hours. And finally, you know, like I just bought an apartment in Warsaw and I got the 6 months payment in advance. I broke up with my girlfriend at the time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to relax a little bit. And on the way out of this publishing company, I saw there was a collection of 25 DVDs, the best movies of all times. And I bought it. And then I bought myself a screener, like a projector, sorry, and a screen. And I started watching those movies. And I never watched movies before until I was 28. I was never interested in that. There's something that's just, and when people were asking you, hey, we want to go to see movies on Friday? No, I would rather go to see a soccer game on TV or to go to a rock concert. I was never into movies. And then I remember one of the first movies I've watched was Goodfellas with De Niro. Somebody told me that 15 years later, I'll be doing movies with De Niro back then. But, you know, so it started growing me the thought to that maybe this is something I want to do in life. You know, this is more creative because I kind of ran out of gas when I was 28 and all those years of sports writing. And I felt like creatively I reached the point of that I would have to just start repeating myself, that there's nothing else. There was no challenge for me anymore. You know, I know it sounds pretentious for some.
No,
for some
you burned out. You were traveling, you were doing, you were
sports writer. Because,
yeah.
You know, like I got some hateful comments when I started acting from that, I would say, community, you know, like, oh, you know, you think you're an actor now, you're better than us, you did this, you know, Mr. Actor, you know, and listen, you know, like, for them is their entire life, for me it was, you know, I'll put it this way, you know, I respect that this is the biggest passion of their life. I realized it wasn't for me, you know, I did a very good job. I published 2 books in Poland that were very successful and I think very well received. I still like sports, but the moment I started acting and I got into that in my early 30s, I realized that this is more of what I want to do. And if I could go back in time to when I started acting and focus just on acting, I would have done that. But it took me 10 years of doing a lot of things to finally, in the age of 40, to decide that I want to focus on acting, and it worked.
But NBA and meeting also your hero, Kobe Bryant, also add this beautiful transition into you being or becoming an actor. So you can tell us a little bit about that, but seems like destiny, it seems like almost faith, I cannot say, just leads you and you are not questioning. What I like, a lot of people hate changes. You are not the one. I really like changes. I'm never afraid of changes. Even when it seems like nothing is there in front of you. But I believe that if stuff like that happen, I need to face it because something else is there that would hopefully become better where I was maybe moment before. So you were so young. You came back to, he came to Hollywood after visiting a few times Los Angeles in America. But right now as an aspiring actor, but still you had some connections with watching NBA. You always liked the sport, and then you meet Kobe Bryant. Can you tell us a little bit about that
moment? Yeah, and just adding to what you just said, yeah, I agree with you that everything made sense, because, you know, like even when I had this 5 years when I was doing stand-up comedy and I, you know, had my own show at the Comedy Store, at Iconic Place, I actually went back to visit and spoke to some of my friends 2 months ago there. And I wouldn't be where I am acting wise if I didn't go to Comedy Store first, because that's how I got signed by an agent, a manager. And that's how I got my first major audition. That's how I got my first gigs. When I was at the Comedy Store, I booked my first TV shows and booked my first movie roles. So everything was a process, and it was a perfect transition from being a sports writer, sports broadcaster, to being a professional actor. Those 4 years at the Comedy Store, 100%, because he was school of life, he was school of show business, he was school of how Hollywood works. It was, you know, watching people who are extremely hardworking in their craft, at the top of the game, extremely inspirational. I met also one of my friends, Dean Del Rey, who was a recording artist. And then in the age of 44, he decided he wants to do comedy. And people were laughing at him, like people are laughing at me in Poland, like, why, what are you doing? You know, like, you have a career here, you know, why, what the hell are you doing? And And I did it, and he did it, and he's now a successful comedian. You know, he did his first spots when he was 44 years old. So it's never too late, and that's one of the things that Kobe Bryant told me back in 2007 when I was asking, you know, what should I do? Should I stick to what I have and just play it safe and, I don't know, find myself a wife and start family and collect paychecks every month, or should I go after some wild, maybe crazy, maybe naive dream and follow that? He said, what is your heart telling you? And I said, my heart is telling me to try. He said, always follow your heart. So I did.
So that's your motto. You really, first, never give up. You are not afraid of changes. You are, in a way, going with the flow. You are loving to learn. And any opportunity, you are turning to something that you are happy about because you believe that leads you to something. Looks like you are a humble, hardworking person. Again, you are only 14 years in Hollywood. So we are talking 2008, you know, and now, oh my gosh, we are talking about a few great movies that you are already there forever. Nobody can take this away from you. And the future, I'm sure, is brighter and bigger. I'm just only worried that you will be tired, that eventually you need to take a break. And I don't know what you are doing when you want to take a break, because LA is a tough town. Whenever you will go, New York or Atlanta, still when it comes to a young actor, because in a way you are still very, very young and you are pursuing and you are fighting and you are auditioning, you know, things are happening sometimes that you don't expect. And so it's also crazy because you need to be ready. Every time you need to be just ready. And tell me psychologically, how you are dealing with that. Are you into exercise, into great food? Are you into sleeping long time when you know that you have not, you know, something important going on in the day? So tell us how you're dealing with your personal space in your own head so you don't go crazy.
Oh, maybe I did go crazy. I don't know. Well, we're a little bit crazy. You know, to be an actor, you have to be a little bit crazy, I guess, at least to a certain degree, or have that crazy bone in you that you can turn on and off, hopefully. I try to have a routine. I developed a certain routine during the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic. I definitely exercise a lot. I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. I barely drink any alcohol, very, very rarely. I drink a lot of tea. I eat oatmeal every morning. I try to go to bed around 11 p.m. and wake up 6, 7 a.m. every day. Music is my escape. Nature, taking walks is too. And I try to take at least one day off every week to have at least one day where I'm not auditioning, where I'm not really doing anything. Meditation.
Okay. Well, you have your moment that you just calm down and you know you are aware of that you need to have that. So that's another advice for everybody. Take a break. If not, you can really, really run too fast and you will never catch up, which is the next thing.
And I had that moment my first year of acting when I started booking things 2016. I was still at the comedy store. I was still doing some writing. I published 2 books in Poland. And I was a moment where I felt like at the end of the year, I was burned out completely, you know, out of energy. Because I was working too much and I didn't have the balance. So the last couple of years, it's all about finding the balance. And I can read the warning signs when I feel like a little bit overwhelmed, then I kind of relax. So,
Martin, I don't know what to say. I'm so proud to be your friend. I'm wishing you...
Oh, I'm proud to be your friend.
So thank you. I cannot wait. Maybe one day I'm going to LA soon, so maybe we'll see there, you know, face to face. But I'm so proud to have this moment to talk to you as a friend. And of course, hopefully people feel the same way, that you are in their home on the big screen already as a friend of people who are listening to our interviews. They know you a little bit better, not only through your big roles. So 2022 and 20 and 21 was pretty good few years, you know, in what you are doing in front. I wish you the best. Dream big, because it seems like when you dream big, the dream is coming true for you. So that's all what I'm wishing you. And thank you for today, and anybody and everybody go to Italy and see Amsterdam. Thank you, Martin, for today. Martin Thomas.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.